Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Howdy, Scott. Great to be with you on News Talk 1620.
Thank you, sir. Let's talk about what action Congress is going to take this week. What legislation do you have in front of you?
Well, we could have a fairly busy week. First of all, yesterday we passed the Visa Waiver Reform Act to deal with ways to work with the other 38 member countries that use a visa waiver program so that we can ensure that we can keep terrorists out of the country and keep Americans safe.
That was a pretty spectacular vote total, too, 407 to 19.
After the San Bernardino thing, the Democrats are starting to understand how wrong they were on this, so they're supporting a lot of the things that they would have been critical of just a couple of weeks ago. The next thing that we're going to do is today we're going to pass the Red River Protection Act. This is something we've been working on for 3 years. We started working on it about 3 years ago back in the Natural Resources Committee when I was there to stop the Bureau of Land Management from seizing private land along the Red River and basically trying to change the border between Texas and Oklahoma. So we should have a nice big vote on that one today. Then things get a little bit squirrelier, to be candid. We're trying to vote on funding the government this week. Funding runs out on the 11th, on Friday. We're trying to get our arms around how to get that taken care of. Tax extenders, which expired at the end of last year, would need to be extended again. And then also, reconciliation, which deletes big parts of Obamacare, was approved by the Senate last week. It's actually a better reconciliation bill than the House passed. I'm hopeful that we get a chance to vote on that this week.
What is it that makes excuse me just a second. What is it that makes the reconciliation in the Senate better than what you did in the House?
Well, actually, they were a lot more aggressive than the House was in terms of dealing with reconciliation. I put out some public announcements saying that I thought the House approach was way too timid. I went ahead and voted for it because something was better than nothing. But that said, we were trying to second-guess what the Senate would do because the Senate parliamentarian controls the strings under what's called the Byrd Rule as to what can get in and get out. And so we were trying to second-guess what the Senate parliamentarian would do. Now, we were in consultation with Leader McConnell and with some of the other leading senators over there, and also trying to work with the parliamentarian to determine what would be in and out. So we did the best we could based on what we had, but then the Senate was actually able to be a lot more aggressive, which is really surprising because usually they've been a lot more timid about the reform actions they take versus what the House does.
Well, what do you think the difference is? Because for months, for more than a year, we've been frustrated over, I think the public, has been frustrated over a Republican-controlled Senate that would not take action, and Mitch McConnell was pretty well vilified by a whole lot of people. So what's the shift? Why has the Senate decided to take such a strong stance here, do you think?
I really don't know. I mean, one thing the public wants us to, but other than that, I can't really say what's going on. I mean, there are other things that are going on in the Senate that still frustrate me and frustrate my fellow House members. Because they either A, they take no action at all, or B, they're too slow, or C, they're just timid. But this one, I was impressed. We put out a press release last week to congratulate our senators for being bold on this particular issue. But I can't tell you how the place operates. Over here, it just operates a lot different than the House. The House is much more aggressive and forward-leaning in addressing the problems the country has.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us this morning from Washington, D.C. Now, there are riders in this budget bill, and I know the one that was pretty contentious had to do with the president's Syrian refugee program. Now, how is that different from what you voted on yesterday in the House, which was kind of to tighten the screening process?
Well, there are two approaches that we're trying to take to keep terrorists out of the country. The first one is and this was in the Syrian refugee bill that we passed right before Thanksgiving, and that is to say that we're going to put a pause on the refugee program until such time as we know that the FBI can vet the folks that are wanting to come here as refugees and certify that they don't present a risk to Americans. The bill yesterday, which is actually more important because this is our biggest weakness, is to fix the visa waiver program. See, what happens, somebody can get on a plane in France, show their passport at the gate, and get on the plane and come to the United States and not need a visa. And there's no way to know who they are or check them out. And of the 30, and there are 38 countries where that can, where we have visa waiver arrangements. What we're proposing to do is tighten those up, where they have to use an electronic passport like we have here in the United States, where they're better at sending the information over to us in terms of any activity those folks may have been involved in. It blocks folks that have been to Syria and Iraq and other countries in the Middle East where we've had some radical Islamic terrorist activities. And so that's what we did yesterday. That's actually a more important bill in terms of protecting Americans than the Syrian refugee bill. They're both important, don't get me wrong, but the one we passed yesterday is much more important.
Well, we're supposed to have at least 21 Syrian refugees move into Texas this week. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not too worried about the ones that are coming here now because they've already been, they applied to come in about 2 years ago. And so I don't think we're going to have any issues with that. I'm not totally comfortable with it, let me say that, but I don't think that they're going to present a security risk that the more recent Syrian refugees would present. And the folks that have applied for refugee status, say, in the last 6 months, that they're still 12 to 18 months away from being able to come into the country. And we're going to have the loopholes buttoned up by the time before that happens. So they won't be coming anytime soon. So I'm not terribly stressed out about the ones that are being resettled.
All right.
I think it's a bad program the way it's currently adjudicated, but I'm not worried about it.
Congressman Bill Floor is joining us from D.C. All right, let's switch off politics and let's talk oil a little bit because lots of ways we like the idea that we've got $37 or $38 a barrel oil. But by the same token, that kind of gets us off kilter as far as the budget track for the state of Texas and maybe the country. Tell me what you think the prospects are and what is big oil going to do with the prices down like this, and how does that impact our Texas economy in your view?
Well, it's going to hurt the Texas economy, and it's going to hurt all the oil-producing states pretty dramatically. It also hurts some of the troublesome countries in the world. I mean, it hurts hurts Iran. It hurts Saudi Arabia that has financed some terrorism in the past. I think they've stopped it, but it's going to hurt them. In particular, it hurts Russia pretty badly. But it's going to hurt us here at home as well. I don't know how long this will last. I can say this. The sharper the fall helps us work through the dislocations that need to be cured in order to create an uptick. And so while this huge drop in the last few days really hurts us, I do think it sets us up for a quicker recovery, but I can't predict when. I mean, I've been through this before.
Sure.
This is about the fifth time. One of the things I noticed is that in terms of what actions companies have taken in order to deal with this, they've been done more quickly, more sharply, more aggressively than in the past. And so as they cut their costs, cut their reinvestment, I think it sets us up for a quicker recovery because you're going to begin to see domestic production roll over and begin to decline more quickly. Here's the big problem that I've seen. Usually when you have a situation like this and you've got lower energy prices, that serves as fertilizer to grow the GDP. But it hasn't happened this time. There has been very little increase in consumer confidence because of low oil and gasoline prices. There's been very little increase in additional consumer spending because of this. And a lot of that, I think, is because the regulatory headwinds coming out of Washington have really slowed down the ability of folks that are in other industries to ramp up their investment, to hire more people, to try to grow their businesses. And so as a result, we're just not seeing the economic growth that you'd normally see in the increase in consumer confidence. And that comes right down to the Obama administration's behavior on the regulatory side.
Well, you know, in talking to somebody from the oil industry yesterday, I think they said 500,000 people in Texas who were working a year ago are not working, and pretty scary numbers for us.
That's exactly right.
That's it. Well, on that cautionary note, you're going to get out of town on time on the 18th. Y'all won't have to stay past the 18th, you think?
It is really hard to know right now. We decided yesterday that we're going to go ahead and work through the weekend. It really did chap Nancy Pelosi because several of us were supposed to go on a congressional delegation to Paris to the climate change talks. Nancy was going over there with some Democrats to sing kumbaya with all the world leaders on this agreement. We as the Republicans were going over there to say two things. One is Congress is going to have to approve this thing, so you can't trust anything the president's going to sign. And number two is we would provide the funding for this so-called climate, basically a transfer of wealth from developed countries to lesser developed countries. And we're going to say, we're not going to go there. We're not going to give you the funding. We're not going to provide the funding for this. So sign anything you want to with President Obama, but do so, though, if it's not going to become a it's not going to happen.
All right, so nice trip for them, huh?
No, and so anyway, where I was going to go with this is that Nancy Pelosi was holding up the talks on both funding and the tax extenders. And Paul Ryan, we had met yesterday, we agreed to go ahead and work through the weekend. Well, that really chapped her, and we just said, look, if you don't like it, then come back to the table and let's negotiate these things, and then you can go on your nice little trip if you want to. I mean, candidly, I was hoping the whole trip would get canceled. I'm not sure.
You're holding her vacation over her head. Is that it?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. As always, we thank you for the time today.
You bet. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country and our military men and women.
Thank you, sir.